Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And welcome to church. Amen. And happy new year to set man. It's the first time we are seeing you this year physically. God bless you. Present. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Before we go into what God has in store for us, I just want to remind us that you need to know the Bible for yourself. Okay? Whatever you hear, you need to mix it with what you know and sift it and be sure that you are in the right frame of things. Hallelujah. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? Everybody just needs to make a better use of whatever he or she has. You know, science tells us that energy is not lost, Abby. It is only transformed from one form to another. Okay? So the beauty of it is that all this if you have stored energy, which we call potential energy, you can either turn it to kinetic energy or anything that you want to turn it. So one day I discovered that actually all these are walking up and down. This will work, waka 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 waka. You can actually turn it into electricity. Okay? So this one that we say band whatever, there's a problem. We don't really have to pay for electricity because they can actually turn all these people that are in Idumota, Oshodi, all the food steps there, they can actually turn it into electricity. It's just the willpower that is not there. And the countries that have the numbers, okay, they are making use of that. And then we say, why is this country better? Because they have discovered that God has given us everything that we want and we will never need ever since. And mind you, I keep saying it that ever since those 6 days, God did everything he will do and there's nothing new he's going to do anymore. So it's left and he has left that responsibility to you and I. Okay, I mean, we came to discover that, this has happened. The one we want to stay with is that water can generate electricity and we can turn the sun to electricity. But there's a lot more than that. Hallelujah. Amen. And until you look deep and hold and harness yourself to God, you will not be able to see these things. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, or Christ told us, that whenever we want to pray, we should say what? Pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven. Amen. So where is our Father? Is there any controversy? So some people are making that a controversy. Never fall into that. Because if Christ said it, that's just settles it. There's no point trying to do, you want to be scoring point, unnecessary point. What he has said, it will not change. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, since the beginning of this year, we've been looking at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. We've been looking at Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7 and Job chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry, Romans 15:4 is still there. Amen. Hallelujah. But we need to be conscious of Genesis 15, verse 1, that it talks about the fact that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Then Genesis 17:1. So do not be afraid, I am your exceedingly said. And when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am all Lord God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And the next verse, it says, and I will make my covenants between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. So 15:1 says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. 17:1 talks about the fact that walk before me and be blameless. And then I will multiply you exceedingly. Walk before me and be blameless. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's for today, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Can I have the ESV version? It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Hallelujah. Amen. So, and I said that if you truly are the seed of Abraham, then you will do, or you look at what the things Abraham had done, you will do better things. Hallelujah. So if you, Bible records that he walked before God and he was blameless, okay? And now to the new generation being, Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, look, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, it will be a vessel for honorable use. Hallelujah. Number one, and then he's set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Amen. You know, when dignities are coming to town, everybody, well, maybe not in this age, when we were growing up, when dignities were coming to town, everybody was always, we're always happy, okay? Especially if they're coming to our school. You want to be the one to give them the, what do you call that thing? The bouquet. So when they are choosing, they now come to class and say, they should look for the best behaved child so that they can give that child the honor, okay, to present to the dignity, okay? And so when eventually they choose the child, don't worry, they never chose me. I wasn't that good. Hallelujah. They never chose me. I lie. They look at me and say, ah, this boy, and I lie. Let's go to another person. Amen. The only time they will call me is when they want to play ball or when they want to go and run on the field. They say, this boy has energy. They call him Anes is energy. But, I mean, so when they will do that, and then the child, on that day, even the parents, you feel like you think that it's the parents that are going to give the bouquet because the child is just so well arrayed. I mean, very looking very good. And when the dignitary comes, in fact, after shaking hands, say, "We want to touch you," say, "Ah, no, I don't want to touch anybody." He touched me, you know. Now, he says, "It will be a vessel for honorable use." Okay, so when you cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable, you become a ready tool for honorable use. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm explaining those things so that we can be marrying these things with what the scripture is saying. Because once you are able to have distinguished yourself, now, if you hear the word of God and you are not doing God's word, hearing the word of God does not make you honorable. Hallelujah. Amen. So because everybody is in the classroom, everybody listens to the instructions that the teacher gives. Abby, do not make noise, sit down, comb your hair, brush your teeth, polish your shoe. And when we all come on a Monday morning, all of us are in different shades. Somebody will not remember to comb his hair. Somebody will not brush his shoe. But there's always one that will comb the hair, polish the shoe, cut the nail. That's when you see us biting nail before we enter class. Let's bite this nail. You see them? Then those ones that will do the hair polish, they will not add handkerchief. And you're like, what is it? You are struggling to be neat. You are adding handkerchief to the problem. And then the teacher will come and say, this is an example. He said, you have caused more problem for us. You have not even met the first standard. And then when they bring out the same set of children, when they bring that exercise book, oh my God, the exercise book does not have, that's why I bought this kind of Bible, so that my book will not have dog ears. You know what they call dog ears? When the book folds like this, you fold. The exercise book does not have dog ears. You open it, you're like, are you sure you're in school? When they open the book, you see the writing very neat, and then the jam marks, and then you say, very good. You're showing that I'm in class. Then you see some people's books, say, what is this? Those kind of children, you never like them. But you see, because they are meeting the standards of the teacher, they are the ones the teacher will readily go to show his own masters that, look, I am doing something. Amen. I remember, and then when exams come, they are the same ones. You No, because a child that's listening to simple instructions, when you tell him that 1 + 1 = 2, he will go somewhere and note it, and he will never change his mind that 1 + 1 = 2. It's you that don't know anything. I'm saying, how can he say 1 + 1 = 2? One fish plus one bread, is it 2? You know, say they are not the same. You know what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to exam, they are the same set of children that will be able to reproduce what the teacher has taught. Because when we are being taught, there are instructions. And then they tell us, when you get home, go and do homework, Abby. They'll give you homework, go and do it. Make sure you read. It's the same set of children that will go home, read, come back to class the following morning and say, good morning, sir. Yes, sir. Yesterday you taught us, what's your business with what you taught us yesterday? Yesterday you taught us this. So when I was reading, I said, what is the... Oh my God, I wish I could go back to those days. You just say, what is the problem with this? What is the problem? We taught you this. The teacher will now say, oh, see, he's reading. They say, you, what did you... That one you said yesterday, sir, I can't even remember. That's the problem. Hallelujah. So some of us, those ones that take the instructions, they are just the ready ones that you just do. If you see the joy that I had the first time after 6 + 4, that's it. After 10 years of being in school, the first time my teacher will write something very good. I got 50 over 50. Even when I saw the script, we said, I did like this, 50 over 50. Then the teacher put there, thank you for showing that I taught you. That script is still in the bottom. The Miloluwa and the last children will see it. I will give them, they will glaze it. Amen. Hallelujah. And what did I do differently that year? All I just made up my mind in the twinkle of an eye that enough is enough. I will sit down and I will listen and then I will follow. And when I get home, I will read again. I will read. But I won't come to class. So I'll come and say, and when I read, no, I won't do that. I will just keep reading and I will go back. I will read. I will go back. I will read. And like, I'm never going to be at the back again. Amen. And every time they will come to, every time they say midterm, they will grade us, and then they'll call people out in the assembly and say, for these ones, they have been hardworking throughout the time, and everybody will clap for them. So it's just customary. It's just customary. It's just like when you know that for Bible school, Mr. Sajiri will be a class captain, Grandpa will be the principal, Setma will be the provost. You know what I can say? You know that these ones are always there, delivering. So when they come, when they call those children out every time, every half time, we know if they say, from 4B, they know the names they will call. The year they called my name, the old school stood up. That is a lie. They say it's a lie. It's a lie. Where is it coming from? But that year, I just sat down. I said, God, it's not difficult. There's nothing difficult in living an honorable life. It's just for you to follow instructions. On Thursday, we were looking at Psalm 119, verse 62. It says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? It says, by your word. Psalm 119, I think it's verse 62. Or 162. He has a 6 and a 2. So, and if it's not 62, it'll be 162. Or you look for it for me. Ah, sorry. I missed it. See, that's the problem. I've gone back to those days. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guiding it according to your word. Give it to KJV. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking it according to your word. Hallelujah. Amen. So, it's taking heed. And taking heed means, when you take it, it means that you are paying attention. There's a difference between when you hear and when you listen. Amen. When you hear, you can hear different sounds as you are in this room. When you are listening, what you are processing is what is important to you. Some people will be processing as that thing that sounding like thunder. Some people else will be processing the sound of the fan. Somebody else will be processing the sound of my word. Hallelujah. Or the sound of my voice, sorry. Okay? So when you are taking heed, you are paying attention. What's the next verse? It says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Hallelujah. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. That's a heart that's seeking God. Okay? And that's a heart that wants to keep whatever the instructions that God has given him and follow it to the letter. Second. Chapter 2, verse 21. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel unto honor. The other version says that if he cleanses himself, I think it's ESV, from whatever is dishonorable. Okay? He will be a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. So, being a vessel unto honor, when you look at by God's perspective, means that you are clean, you are useful, and you are prepared, okay, for God's service. You are clean, you are useful, and prepared for God's service. If God cannot behold sin, and then on the cross, when the whole sin of the world was upon Christ, hallelujah, he could turn his back on Christ. If you want to be prepared for God's service, then you have to be a life without sin. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have thrown many of these things away in church. And all everybody talks about or wants to know about in church is that God is going to provide. Hallelujah. Everything that you need is in place. He says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. What we need to do is to unlock those blessings by our own conduct. Amen. And here he's saying that you have to be a vessel for honorable use. Amen. A vessel for honorable use. You know, when we were looking at in Bible school this morning, when we were looking at Matthew 11:28, 29, and 30, that talked about the fact that my yoke is light. Says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a responsibility that is attached to you working with God. Amen. The other day we were looking at the fact that, I think it was last week, that he spoke about the fact that I will be your father, or it was on Thursday, that I will be your father and you'll be my sons. Okay? There is a responsibility attached to it. If he says that, come everybody that is heavily laden, come to me. He says, my own yoke is light. It's something you can marry. Look, if at all there is any yoke, is that yoke of you following that instruction to the letter? Being that vessel that is clean. So the fact that whether you are chosen by God or not is a done deal. Okay? I think it's in the book of, I think, 2 Peter, that talks about the fact that we are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. We are chosen. Amen. We are a chosen generation. No controversy. A royal priesthood. And what has been done to us? We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. That's what he has done for us. Okay? What we choose to make of ourselves is a different thing. Hallelujah. So if your parents pay your school fees and you don't go to school, are they at fault? They pay your school fees. And I'm like, I have paid your school fees. And then you decide that I'm not going to school today. And they say, I'm not sure my father has paid my school fees, or my father has not paid my school fees. There is a problem. Because you are not aligning with what your parents have done. So he says you are a chosen generation. You are chosen. Hallelujah. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? And you have been called out of darkness into light, into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And then you choose to stay where he has not positioned you. There is no way that he can come to you and then make use of you because you are for his service. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, it will be a vessel for honor, sanctified for the master, the one that does not deal with dishonorable things. Amen. Now, dishonorable things are dishonorable. Okay? So if you look at your own stance as a human being, the things that you dislike or detest, okay? Some people tell you that I don't like people that lie. Huh? And then you begin to laugh because even they themselves lie. Hallelujah. But they don't like people that lie. So if that is as much a dishonorable thing to you as a human being, how much more to God? Satan was trying to explain to us this morning, that you're being unequally yoked with an unbeliever. It means that if your two of you will not have the same disposition to certain things. If you want to go in a straight line, if you don't want to go in a straight line, and so if you are yoked, there's going to be a problem. And he simply explained it with the fact that you cannot yoke a horse and a bull or whatever, because they have different strengths and they will want to do different things. So you do like for like. Hallelujah. You do like for like. So if you begin to look at even the human standards, the things that ordinarily will put anybody in trouble, these are the things that we call dishonorable. You know, some people have lost their conscience. Even the things that are dishonorable, if you mention it, they'll just be like, so what? Huh? They just do so what? They put up a bold face, so what? But if you go and sit down with them in their closet, you will see that they are bleeding on the inside. Because that's how man is. They keep a lot of things, and then make a bold face. Say, so what? I've not done anything. But we all know, whatever is dishonorable is honorable. If you are living, dealing in things that are dishonorable, there is no way that you can be useful to God. Those are the people that when people see them, they're not able to point their hands towards the church and say, this is where they are. Hallelujah. You know, when Satan came up with welcome this morning, he was saying that this year people will look at you and want to serve the God you serve. Amen. If only you do honorable things. Hallelujah. Amen. If only you do honorable things. Hallelujah. You know, if you look at what 2 Timothy is talking about, it says a vessel for honor. And so, you know that regularly. I mean, I don't know if it happens anymore, but I don't like doing things the conventional way. So, when we were growing up, my mother, they spent money buying dining table. I don't understand what that dining table does anyway. Because if you carry your food in your hand, you are eating, you are fine. If anywhere you are eating, you are fine. It's when conditions are not okay, that's when you know that all those things, they are just added, I don't even know what to call them. So they will put the food on the dining table, they say, come and eat. Oh, what's the problem? Then everybody must start eating at the same time. Why? Did hunger catch us at the same time? Not. So now, when they put the plates on the table, they will put everybody plates. The day a visitor comes, that they think that visitor is very important, all the plates on the table will vanish. All those plates will vanish. They put a new set. The one that they put on the top of the cupboard. That's why I say I don't know if those things exist. The one that is on top of the cupboard. But they're still, whenever I go home, I can bring one for you. It's still there, on top of the cupboard. They'll bring it out. And then the annoying thing is that those people will finish eating. And then you don't use that plate, you are the one that will go and wash it. And then they'll go to their own house. And then, yes, now they will finish it. They won't give you out of the food, though. They say, this one, they will dish it. And when those people finish it, then they'll go and sit down. And then you now carry the plate. And like, this plate, they didn't even give me food inside it. I have to wash it. Now, those vessels, okay, they project the image of the family that is offering meal to those people. Those vessels are the ones that you call vessels to honor. When special people come, you bring them out to honor those people. Hallelujah. When another set of people come, even the plate you use on a regular basis, they use it to give them food. They say, no. Go and bring the plastic plate. I said, why? He said, don't worry. So I made up my mind that when I grew up, I will only in my life differentiating people with plates. Even my own plate is not different from the one in the house. In fact, my own plate is even like the lowest grade in the house. So that nobody can ever complain. When you go to my house and you want to drink, I mean, I'll use plastic cup. You use glass cup. Everybody uses a glass cup. I use a plastic cup. Then you ask me why. I said, the only reason is that the glass cup is heavier than the plastic cup. So when I want to drink, I don't want anything heavy. I just want to take my body must be very light so that I can drink. That's the only reason. But I'm saying that these verses, so that you can understand why God will readily come to you. Okay? Because the people that God is sending to you, you too, okay, to God, they are important. Hallelujah. To God, they are important. Every soul is critical to God. Hallelujah. And if he's going to send anybody to a soul, it will be the one that will represent him properly. So that vessel that he's sending must be the one that is accepted and according to God's standards, meets every standard. If you look at it means that such a person, you and I, we have to be committed to a holy service and to representing God the way he is. If we do these things, hallelujah, all those promises that we spend morning and night praying for, they will automatically come without any problem. Amen. When you are constantly used to doing things the God way, there won't be a problem. Shedman was just telling us this morning how that to pray is not a problem. And then during the week, I was reading. I heard one man talking about, I think it was Apostle Ayobabalola that was talking about, that people don't usually want to follow him to go and pray. If he calls, let's just say we are here and I say, Brother Bo, come, let's go and pray. Let's just go and pray. We'll soon be back. They don't want to follow him because that soon be back is like 3 days or 7 days. So if he says, come, let's go. If like I just say all of us, we are going to pray now. Just know that if he seems that he's talking, I'm not going home in 7 days. All of you be here. Pray. And to him, it's just now. So he said that particular day, he called about three of his people around you and said, come, let's quickly go and pray. Those ones were like, this man, quickly go and pray. We are not sure where we will live here. So they said, I think they were seven. They said they left with a loaf of bread. And so when he went to pray, he said, he left them with that loaf. He said, feed on this till I come back. That's what he told them. It's not God that is talking, no. It's Apostle Ayo Babalola. I think he's founder of the CAC. He said, feed on this. I'm coming. And then he went. Hours, they won. Those ones were hungry. They took the loaf of bread. They ate. By the following day, they were still praying. They were waiting. They wanted to eat. So they know if you keep half a loaf, then they open the nylon. The loaf had grown back. This is not in Jesus' time. This is in our own age and time. The loaf had grown back. They ate. The guy was still praying. The third day, they wanted to eat. The thing was grown back. And then when he eventually came back to them, he now told him, I said, this loaf that you left to us, did he refuse to finish? He said, what did I tell you? I said, feed on it till I come back. Meaning that thing, if it took him 1 year, they will still be feeding on that loaf. Why? Because he had come to an understanding and had dropped mind with God that speaking like God is no longer a problem for him. You know, when that turbulence was in when Christ was in that ship, and he said, Master, care not that we do not, that we perish. What did Jesus say? He just told his peace, be still. Hallelujah. Because he's the word himself. Now, when we continually soak ourselves in the word and walk according to his standards, being an honorable vessel, when we speak, things will happen. And to men, it will become a miracle. So, you know, when he came down, he was not surprised. They were the ones that were surprised. And then he said, what did I tell you? When I read that, I just remember Mr. Sajiri's testimony where he said that when we tell him, when he comes to us, they say he's going to travel. And then he comes to us, he says that we'll pray. I just laugh. How many hours have I prayed for myself? He says, come and pray. He said, he's going, he's traveling, you know, that we should pray. I say, okay, go and come. That's all. You have to get to realization that as long as he has God's backing, there is a beginning. And then at an end, there's a return for you.
Vessels unto honor. They are prepared for service. See, every soul that God has sent you to, okay, they are like those guests I've told you that in my mother's house. When they come, they are very important. Because God has something from him through you to them. And he has to present you a vessel, okay, unto honor to those people. So that when the words from you come to them, they will not throw it away with disdain. You know, if you see the pain, so I'm always pained when Christians antagonize Christians, okay, even in public. Don't come, unnecessary arguments. Look, if any the way everybody understands the scripture is different, but the foundation of the scripture is the same.
Hallelujah.
The foundation, don't worry, it's my hand. The foundation is this. That's why I told you that some people hear things, some people listen. That mistake in sound is only Toby that listened. Hallelujah. He knew there was a problem. Amen. So, the things that we do, they are so important to the God that we serve. Some people will make mistakes in interpreting the scripture. Hallelujah. It is not for us to go to the public and criticize them. It's for you to look for them and say, guy, this is the thing, this is the way this thing ought to be. Amen. I have a friend, he has a habit. He criticizes Pentecostal settings. And I don't like it. Because when you are criticizing, now, wherever anybody is worshiping, do you know that that person has one thing in mind, that there's a God to serve? At least that foundation is there. Whether he's very serious about it or not, a seed has been sown. If you think that he's doing anything otherwise, there's no point criticizing where that seed has been sown. But what is important for you is to go back to the word. Because all of us refer to the same Bible. Hallelujah. Is what we choose to interpret in the Bible that is different. But we all have the same Bible that we read. Amen. The same words in this Bible are the words that will cleanse you and will cleanse me if only I take to the instructions. There is no private interpretation of the Bible. What is there is there. If you want to help a friend, help a friend based on the word. It says that you are useful for the master and you are prepared for every good work. Amen. First thing is that you have to be an honorable life. Second thing, you are holy and you are separated. And if you are holy, just like your father is holy, then we will not find anything with you that the father detests. Amen. But important is that you are prepared for every good work. And the Bible tells us that only God alone is good. Amen. If you want to learn good works, you learn him from only the person that is good. So if you think that I'm doing anything good, it's not me that is doing something good. It's the Father that lives in me that is giving me that willpower to do the things that you do. Amen. Hallelujah. So you understand what I'm saying? You know, when certain, if you look at all the rulers in this country, people that have come to rule this country, at every time, as long as anyone is on that seat, all of us must criticize. Abi will criticize and say he's not good. When he leaves, another one comes, we say, ah, that guy was good, though. And then I begin to wonder. Now, then, even now, we are even saying, thank God that the other one looted. Because if he did not loot, how would people be sending money for us to be spending now? It's strange, right? But what I know is that for every ruler that is on the seat, God knows about it. God knows about it because every one of them has an instruction from God. It is their choice to either obey or not to obey. So every one of them has something good. There was one that refused that no, they cannot legalize same-sex marriage. If that's the only thing he did, it's a very good thing. I'm just saying. There was one that shunned the Western world and said, you know what? We don't need your help. Take your help away. We are fine. Hallelujah. And the same one that said, take your help away, we are fine. He dealt with us. So I didn't say he didn't deal with us. I'm trying to tell you that when you say one man is good, today he's doing something good. Tomorrow he's doing something else. That's what I'm saying, that only God, that's what the scripture says, only God alone is good. And if you that allow God to make work through you, you will become a good person in the eye of other people. Now, the one that is honorable is one that is prepared for every good work. Because what's in him is what God expects to find. And so he's going to be able to bear fruit. On Thursday, we were looking at, I think it was John chapter 15, we were looking at, that he says that we should bear fruit. That the one that bear fruit, he will prune, so that he can bear more fruit. Our work with God is a call to worship. And if you are really worshiping him, you will do the things that will honor him. Whether people are there or they are not. And I've said it, forget that we need something there's not going to be a point that we will not need anything. But that he will not provide is not possible. Because that's what he has already done. He has made provision. But he expects us to be dishonorable so that we can step into those things that he has made provision for. Amen. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 17. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being part failing have given themselves over to lewdness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Amen. This is what is honorable. In Job chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, it says, Ephesians 4:27, do not give place to the devil. Amen. You need to examine yourself and see. I mean, if you don't steal, it's okay. If you don't lie, it's okay. But you need to learn. If you don't help people, then there's a problem. Because the Bible says, if it's within your capacity to help, you help. It says you have been prepared for every good work. It's a life of service that we have been called onto. Hallelujah. We are not being called onto a life of just receiving. Amen. It's that service that brings about to us the things that we need. Amen. God will supply all our needs. It's his responsibility. It's not my responsibility. I think on Wednesday, or was it Thursday? On Wednesday, they sent me a bill that I had to pay. I was supposed to have even paid. I didn't know. They sent it to me when we were in December, when we were in at Power Convention, but I didn't see it. Then they sent a reminder. So we were supposed to have paid on the 8th of January. Then they sent a reminder on the 15th of January that, oh God, you have not paid. And then I looked at the bill. I didn't have that kind of money. The God. Anyway, no problem. We'll find a way around it. So once I closed that page, and then I just opened messages on my phone. Someone sent me money. Money that was exact amount, well, maybe $10,000 difference of what I needed to pay that I just saw. So when I saw the person that sent the money, in my wildest imagination, I looked at the person's name. I picked my phone and I called. I said, why are you sending me money? Because it's like Munachi sent me money. You understand what I'm saying? Because you say, how come Munachi come? Where did you get this money from? That's how it is. So when I called him, I said, please, I saw, just in case you made a mistake, I saw this. And what is this? He said, that's how the Lord has instructed. And then I sat down and said, God, even this. So while I was thinking about it, he was already doing something about it. I'm saying that your worry will take us nowhere because he said he will provide. That's a giving. The responsibility that you and I have is what we are talking about this morning. You have to live a life that is honorable. And you must make sure that you shun the devil. Amen. If you say, I've been doing good, do better. Because the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The vessels that have been presented unto honor are the ones that will go out there and represent God and bring men back into the fold. Very important. You just try it for 1 week. Don't ask God for anything. But everything that God tells you to do, just do it. And then you come back. Come back to that point where you were the week before, and you see that everything that you will ever need that week, God supplied. And if you can scan, you know there's a way you scan your mind, and you know that there's trouble. I don't know if you scan it. There's a way you sit down, and you scan and say, there's something I have not done. If you do that for 1 week, and you scan your mind, you will see that you'll always be free. And when you will sleep with a clear mind. And every time you wake up, you'll be able to hear God clearly and follow his instruction. Amen. You know that when we do examinations, whatever the examiners bring, okay, they expect that at one point or the other, we've been taught about it, or we have learned so much about it. An examiner does not bring what you have not been taught. Amen. So the teachers in the children's school, in my school, they will go and do examiner in another school. But all of them have a singular reference, which is a syllabus. So in that syllabus is detailed. Everything everybody is expected to teach and everything everybody is expected to know. So when the examination comes, the examination is not testing you on what you are not supposed to know. It's testing you on what you know. Hallelujah. So that you can move on to the next level. Living an honorable life, it's not negotiable. That should be our aim. And that should be what we look for. Amen. Let's rise to our feet. Ephesians 4:20 says, we have not soon learned Christ. We have not learned to walk uncleanness with greediness. We have not learned to walk with blindness of the heart. We have learned to walk and do things. It says, be not perfect as your Lord God is perfect. Perfection is attainable. Hallelujah. I just talked to God this morning. And indeed, we are totally submitted to his will in 2025. And we are doing exactly what it was says. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says we observe to do according to whatever he has commanded. That's all we need to do. And every other thing will happen for us. Lives will fall in pleasant places. The land will yield is increased unto us. Amen. Because they will listen to God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Just give him praise this morning. Thank him. Give him all the glory.